Amen. Be seated. Take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, beginning in verse 19. I want to just, as you find your place there, give you a heads up of what things are going to look like next Sunday. We're still kind of in limbo over the appeal we made to get a temporary CO. If you don't know what that is, that's a certificate of occupancy. I have not given up hope, but I would say at this point I'm kind of praying for a miracle that we can have our service over there. But either way, at the end of the service today, after our 11 o'clock service, if you can come back, if you want to, and help us, we're going to take up chairs and set up tables for next Sunday. You say, what about if we're in here next Sunday? Next Sunday you're going to be at a dinner theater preaching, all right? And we're going to sit around the tables and have church if we're in here. If we're over there, it won't matter because you'll be over there. But if we're in here, we'll be around the tables, and then you'll come to the 9:30, go to your small groups, or if you just skip small groups, that's fine. That's between you and Jesus, but that's all right. You can come back at noon. We'll have a catered meal in here, and then at 2 o'clock, we'll have our celebration service. We'll have former pastors coming that are going to share. I've asked a couple of our longtime church members either to share or to write something down, and I'll try to share that for them. And so we'll celebrate. We're going to celebrate 75 years on our actually 76th anniversary. It was the fourth Sunday in February that our church was formed. And so this will be 76 years, 1946 to 2022. But, you know, last year, we won't talk about all the things that happened. But anyway, we're going to celebrate. Somebody said, I thought we were celebrating the building. No, we're not. Listen to me. It would have been a nice combo. And I still haven't given up hope. And then if we don't do it Sunday, at some point, we'll celebrate what God's done in that building. But can I just tell you this, and I'll explain this more next Sunday. I can think of thousands of reasons for us to celebrate that are far greater than that building. Amen. Thousands. I've counted them. I've added them up. And there's thousands, at least thousands of reasons to celebrate that are far greater than any building we have on this campus. So we're going to celebrate what God has done. Amen. Now, will I be a little bit more excited if we're doing it? No, I'm going to be excited either way, all right? Will I have a little bit more room to jump around in my excitement if we're over there? Yes, but my excitement will be the same. And so I pray, if you hadn't planned on joining us next Sunday, come and hear and see. My understanding there's going to be old pictures floating around of a lot of y'all. And so that'll be interesting. Some of y'all had hair back then, so you might want to see what that looked like. And just praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, man, my mouth. I'm talking too much. I'm saying too much. When the text says, know this, my beloved brothers, every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man, is that my wife, amen, or is that somebody else? Okay, good, I was just checking. Slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Listen, I don't know how you feel when you get to this text, but it's been whooping me for about 3 or 4 weeks. How many times? I mean, I made the mistake of sharing it with my family, and they look at me when I say something. Remember what you're preaching, son? And it just kind of, I had two ball games, all right? I mean, it wasn't bad, but just, you know, slow to speak, slow to anger. I never got to anger, but I wasn't as slow to speak. In the first 18 verses, James is writing his letter, and he's wanting the people of God to become more like Jesus. And he's talked about that we're going to face all kinds of trials. He said, count it all joy when you face various trials because they are making us more like Christ. He tells us to endure in our trials. And then he declares how we can stand up and overcome temptation that would try to destroy us. And all he's trying to do is make us more like Jesus, to grow in Christ. And now he kind of just digs in and gets kind of personal and starts like getting up in our business and telling us how we should do it and what it looks like when it happens. And so I'm going to share with you some steps to grow in Christ that James has shared with his readers, and I believe they apply to us. And the first step is this: to grow in Christ, we must be swift to hear. Hear from whom? We must hear from God. The reason we need to be quiet in our speech is because you can't listen when you're talking. You can't listen to God when you're trying to tell God what he should do, which is kind of foolish anyway. Remember, I know I had a preacher one time said, God gives us an illustration on our face. There's one tongue and two ears. We ought to listen a lot more than we talk. To grow in Christ, we must be swift to hear. And the imperative there is know this. Know this. and be. Both of them are in the present active imperative. It's a command that is given to us by the writer that this is something that we should and must do if we're going to grow in Christ. Be quick to hear. Listen. God's always speaking through his word and through his church and through his creation. He speaks, but we're not often listening. Slow to speak. I'm telling you, James, if you don't like today's sermon, you might want to skip the rest of the book. Because I wanted to, but God won't let me. And so I'm just saying, he's going to deal with the tongue. And I'm just going to go ahead and lay this out there. Your tongue includes what you say and what you type. That one hit me too, so I had to stop just for a minute. What we say, our words. James is saying, be quick to listen, slow to speak. Slow to speak, slow to anger. Why? Because the goal is the righteousness of God, and my empty words and my anger do not accomplish the righteousness of God. But when I hear from the Lord and I obey the Lord and I'm not just a hearer of his word but a doer of his word, it changes me and it accomplishes his task. Our goal is the righteousness of God. It will not come through our loose lips. It will not come through our gossip. It will not come through our anger. It comes in listening to him. I want to just ask you this. When's the last time you heard from the Lord? I'm talking about you were convinced the Lord led you to do something. When's the last time? And here's the question I would follow it up with. Are you listening? I've heard from the Lord this week. I hear from the Lord every day. So, preacher, you hear his voice. Is it audible? No, a lot of times it's much louder than that. But as I read and listen to the word of God, he speaks to me every single day. Can I just assure you, I heard with a confirmation and clarity from the Lord before I picked my family up from Texas and moved to Leesville, Louisiana. I would not move without hearing from the Lord. What an audible voice. It's as you walk with him and as you listen. Some of y'all are not still long enough to listen. Some of us, let me just change that to y'all, from y'all to us. Sometimes we're not still enough to listen and hear from the Lord. I told somebody at the ball game yesterday, I said, if you want to see the preacher squirm while he's preaching, come tomorrow because it's working on this pastor. To grow in Christ, we must listen. We must hear from God. That means we've got to be slow to speak, slow to anger, quick to hear, be still. Can I confess one of my faults? Have y'all noticed I'm kind of, that's kind of my personality. Have y'all noticed this? And something I have to really work on is when you're talking to me, I've got to be very intentional to listen and not be thinking about what I want to say next. Y'all all right? Am I the only one? I might be. I might be the most unspiritual guy in the room. It's possible. But when I'm in a conversation and I'm excited about talking about something and you're talking, I've just got to stop and be quiet and listen instead of thinking about what I'm going to say next. And the sad thing is when we treat people that way, and it's even sadder when we treat God that way, when he's ready to tell us something and we won't stop long enough to hear something. And I promise you, what he's got to say is much more helpful and much more powerful than what you've got to tell him. Now hear me. He hears our request. He is ready to listen to us. But we just need to make sure we're ready to listen to him and hear from him. The greatest way and the most sure way to hear from God is in his word. But as we walk with him, he'll speak to us clearly. He'll guide our steps. We can trust him. And if we're going to grow in Christ, we've got to listen and be swift to hear and be slow to speak, slow to anger, because it won't accomplish the goal. The goal is to be like Jesus. The goal is righteousness of God. Here's the second step. To grow in Christ, we've got to put away some things and we've got to put on some things. We've got to lay down some things and we've got to receive some things. Look at verse 21. It's in the text. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. Here's what God's telling us right here. Put away foolishness. Put away sin. Listen, it will not ever do you any good. It's just going to bring destruction. It's just going to bring harm. It's just going to bring death like we talked about last week. It's going to kill relationships. It's going to kill opportunity. It's going to kill joy. Put it away. It's not worth it. No matter how many lies the devil's told you, it's not worth it. Put that stuff away. Paul talks about this in Colossians 3, and 1 through 17. I'm just going to read this whole text in a couple sections, but the first 9 verses, Paul talks about putting off. It's kind of like when you have dirty clothes, when you're hot and sweaty and stinky, you need to put them off so that you can be cleaned. Colossians 3 says this: if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked. Those types of things ought to be mostly, if not completely, past tense in your life. They will not ever bring any good. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them. But now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth. Can I just remind you, James is making clear, and now Paul makes clear as well, Jesus cares about our speech. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices. Put away. But then we're to receive. Well, it says, receive with meekness. What? The implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Listen, God wants to speak to you. God has already spoken to you. If you'll read it and hear it and obey it. Receive is the imperative. It's the command with meekness, with humility, with the implanted word of God. Paul goes on in chapter 3, starting in verse 10, and have put on. So you got to put off something, but then you got to put on something to take its place. Receive the word of God. And put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there's no Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on then as God's chosen ones. You're children of God. You're saints of God if you belong to Jesus. He's made you saints, and I'm not talking about the New Orleans ones. I'm talking about children, sons, and daughters of the Most High God. That's who you are if you're saved. You ought to act like it. Did your mom and dad ever tell you when you left the house, remember whose you are, right? I was the preacher's kid. Everybody's watching us just to see, you know. I showed them. The only problem with preacher's kids is they hang out with the deacon's kids. But anyway, praise the Lord. That's a just messing mostly. Chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility. You know what I just thought right then when I said that? Be quick to hear, slow to speak. But anyway, praise the Lord. Meekness, patience, bearing with one another. If one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Well, I forgive them when they deserve it. It says, as the Lord has forgiven you, you never deserved it. But we never deserve it. But God's given it to us, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell. This is Paul kind of saying the same thing James has said. Receive the word of God in meekness. Paul says it this way: let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, and singing in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. If there's something in your life that you're doing or that you're saying that does not glorify Christ, you can't do that in the honor and unto the name of the Lord Jesus. We need to put that away. We put on the things of Christ. We grow in Christ. Romans 13:12, Paul says it this way, much quicker: the night is far gone, the day is at hand. So then let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Cast off the things of the world and of the devil and put on the things of God. It's for your good and for his glory always. His way is better. What's the result? It saves our soul. It redeems us. It makes us more like Jesus. We grow in Christ that we would listen, be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. We grow in Christ that we would receive with meekness the imparted word of God. We put off the things of the world. But thirdly, I want you to see we grow in Christ because the word will change us. Look at verse 22 with me if you would. But be doers of the word and not hearers, only deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks intently at his natural face in the mirror. For he looks at himself and he goes away, and at once he forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the word of God, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. We need to read the word. We need to study the word. But we need to do the word. Not just be hearers, but doers also. Listen, here's the deal. You study the Bible. The Bible's going to tell you some things you need to work on. The Bible's going to tell you some things you need to kind of straighten up. And when you see the commands in the first part of this passage, it says, know this and be quick to hear. That's present active imperatives. That's commands. When it says receive the word of God, that's a present active comparative. That's a command. But here when it says be doers of the word, that's a present passive imperative. Now, I'm not trying to get all deep on you because I'm not a Greek scholar. I just know some people that are, that I trust. And when I study Greek, when it's in the passive, that means something that's done in you and through you, not by you. That's different. When he says, be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger, that's him telling you to do that yourself. Now, yes, in the power of the Holy Spirit, but you need to take some action. You need to make some changes. But here in the passive, to be doers of the word, that's God doing it in us and through us. As we read and as we obey the Holy Spirit, he that dwells in us will begin to make those changes. We're just the recipient of the change of God. Are you a doer of the word, or are you just a hearer of the word, or are you not even listening? He'll change us. Be doers. He uses the illustration of the mirror. I hope my hair is in place, but it's probably not. Because I just can't. I got some wild hairs. Mostly in my head, not in my lifestyle, but there's some wild hairs there. And I put a little gel in there today, you know, but it's just going to go wild. But if I come in here and I had my hair was all out of place, like I hadn't even combed it, but since I got up from, some of y'all don't have to worry about this, but some of us do, and just, you know, I didn't do anything about it, you think, what's wrong with the preacher? I had it going. I mean, you ought to see it sometimes when I first get up. It's a wild mess. And I look in the mirror, I think, man, I need to fix that. But then I walk away and I don't do anything about it. It's just foolish. It's just distracted by whatever. When the word shows us something we ought to do, we know God's told us we ought to do it, we ought to put it away or we ought to put it on, and we say, oh yeah, I should do that. But then we stay in the same old ruts and we wonder why our lives are a mess. We don't have anybody really to blame but ourselves. But if we're doers of the word, listen, I'm telling you, I don't think I've said hardly anything all week in conversation where the thoughts of the words be slow to speak and quick to hear have not rattled in my mind and in my heart. Sometimes it's right after saying something I probably shouldn't have said. Don't look at me all spiritual like y'all don't ever say stuff you ought not to say. Only two or three of those were the umpires, DJ. It wasn't bad. It was just, you know. And I'm so passive aggressive. I'll share one with you. This right here is not a strike. All right? That's not a strike. All right? So when my baby girl gets that called a strike, I don't say anything to the umpire. I just say, hey, baby girl, good job. Leave that up there. I mean, that's kind of passive aggressive, isn't it? It's accurate. What if? That man happened to be blue that day. Just been waiting for somebody to have enough Jesus to show some grace. I'm just saying. My convictions don't have to be your convictions, but you ought to listen to the convictions God gives you. Try not to get thrown out of any more ball games, you know? I've never been thrown out. I'm pretty sure I could have if they knew it was me talking. I never have cussed or anything like that, I promise. I can't remember. Not since I've been turned 19, at least. I'll just put it that way. It's under the blood. I'm just saying. There's a fun, I know, now most of the umpires know me by name. We were out of town, so it was, you know. Now, I might talk some junk just playing. There's a difference, right? What's your heart saying? If you're saved, the Holy Spirit dwells in here, and I'm just telling you, if he puts a check up in your spirit, you better not ignore it. You better not ignore it, because God's trying to make you more like Jesus. Be doers of the word, and just remember, there's several of them umpires that are deacons at East. They know who you are, so just be doers, not just hearers. Respond in obedience. We receive the word. We recognize what the word tells us to do, and we respond in obedience. The result is this. It says, he will be blessed. He will be blessed in his doing. There's blessing to be had in obeying Christ. Listen, the greatest blessing is it keeps you out of trouble. It keeps you out of nonsense. It keeps you out of more mess than you want to deal with. There's going to be mess. There's always going to be mess. But a lot of times the mess I have is my own mess. Because sometimes I'm not slow to speak and slow to anger and quick to listen. What's it look like? I like how James finishes this up. The picture of one who is growing in Christ. What's it look like? He gives us some examples. And the greatest thing I see in 26 and 27 is actions speak louder than words and appearances. We can say all day we love Jesus. We say all day. But what James tells us, if anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. I had to say woe me on that one. But I hear you, it's truth. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. I didn't enjoy this study, but I kind of just did a little bit of study on what the Bible says about bridling our tongue. Listen to Proverbs. Proverbs is a great book. Proverbs 17:28 says this. Makes me want to be quiet. Even a fool who keeps silent is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he's deemed intelligent. I just think the Lord told me, don't talk about things I don't know what I'm talking about. Don't speak to those things that don't involve me. Don't try to assume that I know all the details of any particular situation, because I just don't. And I'll seem smart if I just sit there and stay quiet. And sometimes all we do is just feed the fire of the nonsense, even if we speak right and truth. Proverbs also says, don't answer the fool or he'll turn on you. Or it says, and there's like this, there's two verses right back to back. One says, don't answer the fool. And the other one says, do answer the fool. And I thought it was a contradiction when I first read it. And I thought, no, there's sometimes you need to answer and there's sometimes you just need to be quiet. And preacher, what's the answer to that? I don't know. Just trust the wisdom of God. Proverbs 10:19 says this: when words are many, transgression is not lacking. But whoever restrains his lips is prudent, wise. Proverbs 13:3, whoever guards his mouth preserves his life. He who opens wide his lips comes to ruin. I don't enjoy conflict. I don't run from conflict. I believe as a pastor, if there's conflict in the church, you need to run to it. Deal with it rightly. The Bible gives us instruction on this. Read Matthew 18. It's there. And that's how I strive to always deal with that. But I have found with most, especially those who are acting ungodly, oftentimes it's best just to let them keep talking. Just to let them show their true colors. We want to respond when we hear untruth, and sometimes there's times when we ought to respond and speak truth. If somebody were to say something that was contrary to the gospel, I'm going to speak against that. If somebody was to challenge something that's truth in the Word of God, I'm going to speak against that. But sometimes you just let God do the defending. Truth faith is not passive. James says, visit the fatherless and the widows. What's that mean? Care for those who are less fortunate than ourselves is what one that loves Jesus will do genuinely. True faith is clearly distinguishable from the world. The way it says, to visit the orphans and the widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. We ought not look like the world. We ought not act like the world. We ought not respond like the world. We ought not smell like the world. Romans 12:2 says this, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. To be conformed is the idea of being changed from the outside in. It's a schematizo is the Greek word. It's a scheme of the world that the world wants to shape us and make us look like the world. If you don't think it's happening and that they're not trying, then you're not paying attention. It's kind of like we're the dough and the world's a cookie cutter and it wants to shape us just like it is. And Jesus is saying to us through Paul that don't be conformed to this world. Don't be changed from the outside in, but be transformed. I love that word there, transformed. It's the Greek word metamorphoo. It's metamorphosis, fourth grade science. And that's when the caterpillar goes up into cocoon and it comes out a butterfly. But the idea is we're not changed from the outside in, but we're changed from the inside out. And if you're a believer, if you're going to be changed by the world, you're not walking right with God. But if you're a believer, the Holy Spirit of God dwells in you. And if you're being transformed, He's making you more like Jesus. The world's trying to squeeze us. And it ain't going to stop. Oh, preacher, the world's done gone crazy. No, the world's been crazy for a long, long time. Always has been. Always will be. That's why the world needs Jesus. But we must not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of our mind. I don't like this word. It carries with it the idea of renovation. Ah, that word makes me just shake. And here, not joking, not kidding, my illustration, every time I preach this text, my illustration is this. How many of y'all have ever lived through a renovation in your home while you're still living in the home? Anybody? You've lived in a renovation while you're living in the home. If your marriage survives that, you will make it. One, because it's very easy and there's no stress and there's ever, never any problems. You're always, everything always goes smoothly, on time, on budget, never have any issues, right? Whatevs! I just said whatevs. I'm sorry, kids. I didn't mean to do that. But by the renewing of your mind, we have to remember the renovation project is us. We have to remember the contractor on this project is Jesus and His Holy Spirit that dwells in us. And we have to remember what I still hope for over there, that by the time it ever gets done, it will be worth it. But can I assure you, when Jesus gets done with us, it will be worth it and we will be in His image. Don't be like this world. Don't be conformed to this world. Be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind that you spend time with Jesus. James 4:4 says this. We'll get there in a few weeks. You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. You don't want to be friends with the world. We should love the world. We should care about the world. We should desire to see the world know Christ. I see preachers sometimes, well, we want to be culturally relevant. No, I don't. I want to be culturally earth-shattering and change culture in the name of Jesus. Are you growing in Christ? I can't say where this text is going to convict you. I know where it's convicted me. Listen to what James says one more time. Know this, my beloved brothers. Let every person Be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror, for he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to visit the orphans and the widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained from the world. How's your walk with Christ? We can hide a lot of stains from the world, and you might be able to live in such a way that I can't see them. I probably know more than you think, but that I can't see them. I've met some folks that were good. They fooled me. They fooled me. But eventually the truth comes out. If you don't deal with sin, it comes out. The light shines on the darkness and it comes out. But I'll tell you, there's been some folks that, I just was floored when the truth came out. They fooled me. I've met some folks that I thought were so slick and so good at it, I really believe they even fooled themselves to thinking that everything was right between them and God. In their mind, and even in a way in their heart, they thought, oh, I'm good, and they had everybody else fooled, and they had themselves fooled. I've met a few, not many. You spend enough time with somebody, normally them true colors come out. But I've met a few that were even so good they fooled themselves. I tell you, the man or woman that has yet to exist and will never exist is the one that's ever fooled God. You just can't do it. Because he knows your deepest, darkest secret. And he's already paid the price for it. But you're not going to make his son's blood cheap. You've got to confess it. There's forgiveness available. There's grace available. I promise you. You say, preacher, you don't know how deep and dark my sins are. I don't have to know this. His grace is sufficient. It's sufficient. It's sufficient. But you don't receive it just by breathing air and just coming up in a church building. You receive it when you confess your sin, repent, and turn to Christ. Trust in his death, his burial, and his resurrection. You confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. You believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. And the Bible says you shall be saved. And man, that's a wonderful gift. But I'm going to go ahead and tell you. I'm giving you the warning label. When you do that, that's not the end. That's the first step. Because then you become his child. And then he starts the process of transformation and the renewing of your mind. He starts the renovation project. And there's going to be some days when it hurts. There's going to be some days when it's aggravating. There's going to be some days when you have to tear stuff you've already built back. You're going to have to tear it out and redo it again. Because our lives are a mess. You say, preacher, you talking about, who you talking about? I'm talking about every single one of us. I've got my mess. You've got your mess. My mess might not be as loud as yours sometimes, but my mess is there. And your mess is too. I don't have any mess, preacher. Your mess includes you're a liar. You all right? I'm just telling you. You have not arrived. Now, there's some folks in this building that are walking close with Jesus. And it's obvious. But we all have room left in this renovation project. If you're breathing, God's not done. And you know what I figured out? That the vast majority of the work is going to be done between my last breath here and my first breath there. There's still going to be a lot that has to be done. But heaven forbid that we don't listen and obey and do what the Word of God shows us clearly we ought to do. I'll just give you mine. It's going to be hard for me. Mine's talk less. Listen more. I get paid to talk. It's my calling. There's a lot of times I just need to be listening. to be a doer of the word, not just a hearer. I want to have a walk with Christ that cares for those around me with deep affection and love like Jesus has for us. And I want to live in such a way that when I'm dead and gone, the ones that knew me best would say, oh, he wasn't perfect. But the world didn't get much on him. He had his flaws, but he wasn't stained by the world. It's what matters. How's your walk? Are you growing in Christ? There's some of you, you've never been saved. You'll never do this in your strength. You'll never be more like Jesus. It's not a do better religion. It's a surrender to Christ relationship. Some of you need to be saved. There's some in this place, you need to do what Elizabeth and Isaac did and just obey God in baptism. It won't save you. It doesn't make God love you more. He loves you as much as he possibly could right now. He loves you with everything he has, with a perfect love. He loved you so much that Jesus died on the cross for your sins and mine. That's how much he loves us. But you need to obey him more for your sake than his. For your good. It's for his glory, but it's for your good. Obey him. Maybe God's shown you some things that you should put away. He's told you some things that it might not even be bad in most people's eyes, but God's told you it's not worthy of your time and your energy. Put it away. You know what you need to do? You need to obey God. You need to obey God. Now, if it's sinful and against the word of God, there's no question. You don't have to pray about that. You need to obey God. Put it away. Some of you, God's told you to put some things on. I'm telling you, every one of you in here that claims to love Jesus, you ought to find a way somehow to join one of our Tuesday night teams and go out and tell somebody else about Jesus. Or at the very least, sit in a room over in the other building and write notes or make phone calls or pray. There's not a one in here that there's something that they can't. There's something you can do for the goal we have to reach every home in Vernon Parish with the gospel. God speaks to you. If you're his child, he speaks to you. Are you listening? Are you listening? Are we listening? Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that as we've heard your word, that you would speak, if you haven't already done so, even now, that you would speak to our hearts, that we would hear, that we would listen, that we would obey, and that we would go and do whatever it is you call us to do. If that first step is responding in this invitation, let it be. If it's something we need to do outside of this building, let it be. If it's something in response to something else you've shown us in your word, Lord, enable us by your spirit to be doers and not just hearers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. If you